You might like to turn in your Bible to Hebrews and chapter 6. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we look to you to honor your word. Help us in understanding that we might be able to honor you the better. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, remember, as we're doing in the book of Hebrews, an objective is to get the believing heart to understand the seriousness of Christ going to the cross and the cost. And what he paid for, he himself shed, as it were, in his perfect humanity. He shed his blood in order to have and give, make something awesomely possible. And therefore, the book of Hebrews is to remind us, to motivate us, to understand the pursuit of the objective that God has in going to the cross. Why did he do it? And therefore, we're to exercise, and look at, in chapter 2, in verse 3, you recall, chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How do you escape? And the answer is, there is no escape. Everyone is summoned, saved. Every human being that God created is summoned before the throne of God in the light of the cross. Christ died for all. Therefore, as we've been reading, all of the wonderful incentive, the Christ, our great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. And we've done all of that and moved, and God every now and then gives a warning. He encourages us to get so motivated and then warned us, make sure you are motivated. And that's in chapter 5, remember we did, verse 11, 12, 13, 14, etc. That's a whole warning session. Grow up. Don't be on milk. Get solid food. We have to grow. If you don't grow, you won't know. And you do have to grow. And you can't go backwards. That's the whole point. You can't retreat in history to yesterday. Literally. You just can't do it. It's impossible. So therefore, the motivation to grow up. And so when we came to chapter 6, therefore, in the light of everything, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, maturity, growing up, etc., completion. Let us go on unto perfection, and not laying again the foundation. Now, we did all these things. We did each thing separately, so there's no question about that. And all of those things should be left. Those are things that were, but they are no longer as you proceed forward. And verse 3, this will we do if God permit, and looking for God's will to outwork. And you'll notice the pronouns as we did them in chapter 6, verse 1, let us go on. Chapter 3, this will we do. The believing writer, the penman, is included in the whole movement. So now, chapters 4, 5, verses 4, 5, and 6 are all one sentence in the Greek. And so therefore, and we took this apart. So all I'm going to do now is quickly run it by you so you may put the pieces together again a little bit. Going to give, the little word for is a reason. If we will go, This we will do if God permit. And this and four, back up to verse one, let us go on to perfection. Four, if we don't go on to perfection, reason, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Now, remember now this one sentence, verses 4, 5, and 6. And so we get down to the verb, the main verb, verse 6. And if they shall fall away, to renew, the word renew, to make anew, to make afresh, to hold different from what you were doing, renew. It is impossible, I'm going to back up to that word, then I'm going to, the verb, to renew them. It's impossible to renew them. And then you have another little participle in verse 6. If, remember we shared if is not there, it's the word and yet, not if. And I did all that, we did that. And yet, they shall fall away, having fallen away. In other words, it's impossible to renew them to repentance. It's impossible. And yet, even add to that, if they've fallen away, if they've already, it's impossible, they've already fallen down, they've fallen back, going backwards. They're not going forwards. It's impossible. Two, renew them. And then we read in verse 4, for if you tasted, remember we did each thing, verse 4, verse 5, participles, each thing, we looked at each thing, all of those are real experiences. They aren't if or maybes there. You cannot be a believer without having them in some form. Has to be. So we're talking about you who have all these things. It's impossible for this group, verse 4 and 5, it's impossible for this group to go backwards. They can't go backwards if they fall away, and they have to go forwards because it's all for real. And as we share together, looking back, it's impossible, addition, verse 4, to renew them, a different, new, brand new, different again, to renew them again. As far, and the little word, do you see the word in, let me get verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them. Do you see the word T-H-E-M? That's reflexive pronoun. That means them, they themselves. They themselves. This is, why aren't they doing it? Because they themselves are the author and the motivator for what they're doing. In other words, it isn't somebody else. God isn't causing it. No one else is causing it. They themselves have chosen. They themselves. If they themselves fall away, if they fall away, if they did, they have to choose to do so. Hang on. Then it's impossible to renew them. Now, who's the they? They're the people in verses 4 and 5 that are saved. These truths are for saved people. So hang on. So therefore, in verse 6, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing, what's the problem? They are crucifying, present tense, to themselves, that's the word I want better, not them, but themselves, reflexive. Crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, to do it over and over and over again. They can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because A, you didn't crucify Christ. The world system did, and God did. God sent his Son to the cross. God authored his death. You know, all these things, you know. And the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity that wasn't even then, before any angels or anything, that's when he died for everybody. So he sets the pattern of the story, the wonderful history, the wonderful movement of time to glorify himself. So the Lamb is slain before the foundation of the world. God sent his Son to die. He did that. God sent his Son to die. So it's impossible for us, for anyone, because remember, the temple is still in existence, 70 AD. Hebrews is written when the temple is still there, so it's before 70 AD, etc. And since the temple is still there, the Jews are still going to sacrificing. That's what they're doing. Jews are there, the book of Hebrews, bringing all the Old Testament truth into the New Testament in a wonderful way. So here's the Jews going, and here's the Jews going, and the Jews not going, and the Jews going say you should be going. Well, Christ, it's all right to trust Christ, but you need to do this too. You need to go and follow what we did in the temple with the sacrifices, etc. And all of those sacrifices, what are you doing? You can't do them. All that they're doing in 70 AD, Christ has already died. You can't, no more sacrifices. Christ is the, Romans 10, 3 and 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. It's all over. So if you think you can go and refashion this whole business of salvation, you're crazy, because you can't. It's impossible. It's impossible to do this. You're doing and agreeing with the crucifiers that Christ's death on the cross is enough. Think of the mass that people have in religious. What are we doing with the mass? We're crucifying Christ what? Afresh. That's what we're doing. You can't do that. It's impossible. That's the whole point. You want to go forwards. You have to go forwards. But I'm going to just sit and sort of mull along in the next 20 years. Well, you can do that. But you can't really do it, because you're losing ground. You've got to grow. And because why? Christ died on the cross to make all of these wonderful things possible. And therefore, you don't want to be going as if Christ didn't die, as if Christ, what he did on the cross, is not sufficient, if you don't understand God's salvation that he has given, made possible, is how great shall we, how it is so great, how shall we escape? It's an awesome thing. You have to be saved if you're saved. Then be saved. That's the point. That's the whole point. It isn't, you can be lost, because we did all that too. You can't be lost. You can't be saved and lost. Nicodemus said, 3, can I go back into my mother's womb and be born? And the answer is obviously what? You're too big. How's that? You can't do it. You have to go forward. You can't go backwards. That's the whole point. And watch how it comes out now in the light of that. In chapter 6, I hope that if I confused you, that's good. Just shows you I did something. I'm just trying to help you. You won't remember all these things, but at least get the mood. And if nothing else, get the context. Watch the context. Chapter 6, verse 7. And remember all the we's and us and personal relationships in it. Now the illustration. Two things in verse 7. For, there's the reason again. Little preposition, for, because. For, why can't that be? For, the earth, going to give you an explanation. Explanation, the evidence. And before we do that, hold your finger here and go over to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20. 7 and 20. And see if we can keep the Bible so that we debate it. We don't really need to understand it. We don't really want to lock it in like that. We want to be able to hear the Bible, and we're Christians, quote unquote. We want to be able to do that without having the impact that it would make if it is yes and amen, and you can't touch it. Either believe it or don't, but you don't play with it. It's for real. And we don't like that because there's no flexibility. All of the politics and all the rest of it, we can play with them. We have, you have your opinion, I have my opinion. You have your beliefs, I have my beliefs. My beliefs don't make anything true. Your beliefs don't make anything true. But we go by our beliefs. This is what I believe, this is how I feel, and we like that flexibility. With God, there is no flexibility. How shall you escape? It's impossible. No flexibility. We don't like it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's boom. We don't like that. That's why we don't like Christianity based on the scriptures. We like Christianity based on the system. We like the system. Now, having said that, chapter 7 in Matthew, sliding over, as you already know, the fruits. I'll read verse 17 just for a little context. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. It is a, verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Hang on to that. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Verse 20, you know, by the fruits. Okay, back over to chapter 6. Illustration. Chapter 6, verse 7, the fruits. What's the evidence that you're saved? What's the evidence that you can't go backwards? What's the evidence that it's impossible? It's impossible for the believing heart to go backwards. They have to go forwards. You can't be unsaved, simply. So you're either going to end up, anyway, with all of it. Now, verse 4, the earth which drinketh in the rain, the earth which drinketh in the rain. Think and now remember what you know in Matthew 13. We did all of these things. Verse 23, the parable of the sower. And there's no fruit, no evidence, no evidence, no evidence until you come to verse 23. The seed falls on good ground and produces fruit. What's the evidence? Fruit. You know the plant is there and real. See the fruit. But you don't see any fruit. There's no evidence. There's no evidence. By the fruits you'll know them. In the great white throne judgment for the unsaved. What are the, God doesn't look at a whole, what you think. He looks at your works. Give evidence. How's he going to judge the great white throne? By their works. Their works will tell whether there's any evidence. And therefore, verse 7, the earth which drinketh in the rain and that cometh down upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat fit for them whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. So there's a wonderful, wonderful receiving blessing from God. Now that's the positive end. What happens if you don't have any fruit? Verse 8, but in contrast, but the earth, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be what? Burned. We just read that in Matthew 7. You're going to be burned, etc. Now, so in the process, here's the evidence. See the fruit, verse 7. But if you don't see any fruit, then you know it's not legit, and it's thorns and briars and thistles, etc., rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, heading in the direction of cursing, and is going to be burned. It's not going to come out. There's no evidence. There's no evidence. So hang on to that. Watch how it goes. What? No evidence. So therefore, nigh unto cursing. Now, in verse 9, but, a little word, contrast to verse 8, thorns and thistles. But, in opposite to thorns and thistles, or nothing, verse 9, but, beloved ones, we, the writer, the believers, we, the penmen and the believers, receiving the letter, Beloved, we are persuaded. We are persuaded. We perfect. We've been persuaded. We continue to be persuaded. What are you wonderfully, wonderfully convinced of, persuaded about? Better things. Better things. We are certain. Better things. We're certainly wonderfully, wonderfully persuaded about the people that are reading this, that we're reading it. I'm reading it. You're reading it. We're persuaded better things of you. Better things of you in a most wonderful way. And you'll notice, if you can, do you see the little word O-F, of? Remember now what we did in Matthew and that, in John chapter 17, in verse 9, I think it was. I'm praying for you, for. And the little word, that little wonderful little word, I am, you are in the circle of my concern. Remember we said it. Here's the watch and circle, the preposition. God says, I'm praying. You are particularly in the circle, you know, in the center of what I'm doing. My concern is all about you. That's what it's about you. That's our little word in front of us. Watch. Verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things concerning you. So putting a circle around you, and there you are, you're the centerpiece of attention. Beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. Though we thus speak. Even though we're speaking, like verses 4, 5, and 6, even go from milk to solid meat, how shall we escape so great a salvation? Even though we say all these things to you, we're only trying to stimulate you with the understanding you have to go forwards. It won't do any good when we're all done, because 99% don't ever go forward. But it won't be that isn't God didn't tell him. He did tell him. How much could he say? Therefore, you wrote, you know, in Peter, if the righteous, remember, if the righteous are hardly saved, hardly means difficult. If they're saved with difficulty, what about the unsaved? If the righteous believers just get in, 1 Corinthians 3:15, saved as by what? Fire. We got nothing. If they just get in, can you imagine the unsaved getting in? They don't get in. It's impossible. It's impossible. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful salvation, preservation, even though we thus speak, we're motivated, we're to be motivated to go on in chapter 6, verse 1, to go on to perfection, a solid food, wonderfully, wonderfully solid food. So, in the process, verse 10, four, another reason again, explanation. Each thing explains the next thing, relates to it, so you don't have to. And how shall we escape? We, even though we speak so difficultly, we're trying to help you understand the seriousness of this. Verse 10, for explanation, God is not unrighteous to forget. God is going to care. He isn't going to be indifferent. God is not going to forget your work and labor of love. Now, there's the word for work. The work is to be done in such a wonderful way. Your work. Now hang on to that, and let's get that little bit. Over, if you would please, to Revelation. And in chapter 2. And in Revelation, remember, to each of the churches in Asia Minor, here they are, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. But each time, note something. How does God judge them? What is God looking at the church in Ephesus, Thyatira, Philadelphia? What is God looking at? Chapter 2 and verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2, Revelation. I know thy what? I know thy works. I'm looking for the evidence, the plant. I want to see something, see some fruit. Same as the parable of the sower. You got all the seed, you hear with your ear. What are you doing? Are you hearing? Are you producing? Are you reacting properly to the wonderful word of God in a most wonderful way? Hang on to that in the light of the morning if we should tarry. So therefore, verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, etc., etc. And the danger in the church in Ephesus, which would happen in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now you're producing fruit, you're weeding the garden, you're keeping everything going as it were, and you have the fruit, but you lost the reason you're doing it. The plant, the garden, the whole thing belongs to God. And you lost the motivation. What's our motivation? The love of God. Why are you saved? What motivated God to save you? His love. God so what? Loved the world. That's what motivated him. God so loved the world to save you. That's what God did. The love of God. You're in danger of losing your love. The motivation. I'm doing it. I do it by rote. I do it. I have to do it. I'm a serious believer. You've lost the motivation. Love. I'm doing it. God wants it. God is pleased. God gave his son. He loves me. He loves us. God gave his son. I want to please God. I want that love. We love him, 1 John. We love him because he first loved us. I'm responding. They were losing their first love. That's happened in our day. That's why there was such apostasy in the so-called professing church. Because not only have we lost the first love, but we lost the word of God in the process. And that's truly apostasy. We've left it all. We don't care what he says. Who cares? How should we escape if we neglect? I'm a believer. I'm a bishop at the high court of something. Anyway. Now, so therefore if I can, and if you're there, I didn't mean to close it. While you're there, just do one more thing. I meant to, my Bible closed. Over to Revelation chapter 2. Watch it. Over to verse 9. I know thy works and love and tribulation and poverty, et cetera, et cetera. And you're going to say that each time. I know thy works. I know thy works. I know them. What are you going to judge us by? The evidence. Show me the evidence, said God. If you're trusting me, show the fruit. No fruit, then you really aren't trusting me. I trust God. Where's the fruit? Where's the evidence you trust God? You see, there's no evidence. I trust God, and then they go and shoot 10 people. See? So, and having said that a little bit, now to do that also, I know thy works. So, what about works? But we know works don't what? Works don't save us, do they? So, God, put that together for me. Ephesians, and chapter 2. And in Ephesians chapter 2, on one side of the coin, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, underline in your mind, verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So, but you just said, you're looking for our works. Then we go to verse what? We go to verse 10. For, other side, you can't do it, no, but, for you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. God has a wonderful plan for your life. It's good work. God's good working, his workmanship. It does good, his work does good things. And what are we supposed to, God wants the evidence, not by you, because the flesh, no flesh can please God, but John 15:5, you abide in me and I abide in you, and without me, John 15:5, you can do how much? A nothing. But I got to include God. How are you going to get any fruit? How are you going to have anything without God? You can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. You have to go forward. It's just impossible. And God, how many times? He says it 1,000 different ways, it seems. We don't listen. So it isn't works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his wonderful working. And then we looked at the word in Hebrews, and the next word was labor. And in Hebrews, remember, in the process, in verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work. That's right, God's wonderful working in your life, his good will, his good works, which, and labor, the word labor is toil, wearisome toil. Some say, now that was wearisome toil. What about wearisome toil? Well, I thought it was supposed to be a wonderful trip. And we, his yoke is upon us, and we, our burden is, his burden is light, etc. But, verse 10, your work of faith and labor of love, your weariness, toil. Now, where does that come in? Now, God, you have to help us to show this, demonstrate it. So if we're really going to go trust God and enjoy the love and be loving God, right? I got to know God loves me in the sense practically so that I am exercising his concern. The sergeant in the military is trying to train me to do something, and I'm going to care about the sergeant because he is seeking to help me do something that I'll need to know how to do. So I'm going to pay attention to the sergeant, even though he tells me I have to go to bed at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock or something, get up at 4 o'clock better, and whatever we have to do. I'm going to honor the sergeant. So therefore, God, labor, I'm going to honor that. Now, God, translate that a little bit into us. How is it toilsome to us if we just want to love you? Right? Isn't that good? How easy is it to say that? You know, I can say that. I love you, see? How easy was that to say? Nothing to it, see? It's easy to say love. But to really love, it's different. That's different. And that's exercise. Now watch. Where would you, 100 ways to do it. Go over to Romans chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5. And you will note. I'm just using one simple thing. How are we supposed to grow? Well, we're going to grow. Chapter 5 and verse 2. By whom also we believers, have access by faith into this grace. By the grace of God, we're saved. By the grace of God, God outworks his will in our life. Grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing tribulation, pressure squeezing, oppression, etc. Worketh patience, bearing up under the load. So, I got to go through everything. I'm here on earth. Think of the message in coming up in this morning if he tarries. Here's the tribulation, patience, verse 4, experience, earning. So we earn, we are very comfortable experiencing life because we're used to doing it for 10 years and we do it for another day. We practice living in the life, in the world we live in, with headache and heartache and everything else. Patience, experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Where did I get the love of God? In trying to work out my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Easy, hard, much, little, all alone or with 1,000 people. Everything, having to think right, just to think right, that's a job. You have to work at it, don't you? A little bit. You got to think, what God, is that what you want? See, so you do that. That's labor, toil. That isn't a little picnic. No, you're working at it. For what? And what are you going to discover? God loves you. And that's when you're going to return the love of God, because you appreciate all that you went through in order to learn, to be educated, to care. God loves me. No? When it's all done and do everything wrong, the person looks down to the little child that did something wrong, and the little child did something very wrong, but he bends down. In the process of bending down, the father or mother, whatever, bends down and says, "But I love you." Ever hear that? "But I love you." God put you through the mill, "But I love you." And that's where you learn. And you say, "Thank you." So instead of saying, "God puts me through the mill," "Oh no." But then what that thank you, then that going through the mill, "Thank you, God. Thank you. How am I ever going to learn patience without being put through the mill? How am I going to know it? I've got to go through the mill." I said, "I don't want to." "Then you won't learn it. You won't learn it." So back over to chapter 10 of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, if I can. And you will note in verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." Now, whose work? That's what these are the believers. These believers that just read, "It is impossible," are the believers that are working. They're the believers that are laboring. He just says they are. So they aren't indifferent people. They're believers that are working at it. And the pressure's there because the temple's still up. And the others, they're hearing all the, but how can you say that Jesus isn't sufficient? Well, here's our priest, here's our temple, here's our sacrifices, and all of that. And so you have to say, well, you know, you say the Bible's true, but then you have to think of your tradition, your background, your family, what people say, what people think, and you do all that. But then you have to choose the Bible over all of that. You have to choose the Bible. But it's hard to choose the Bible because I just gave you all my friends, my family, my relatives, what they think, what they feel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That causes division within me. I'm with God, but they can't all be wrong, could they? Could they all be wrong? You see? So I have that exercise, that wonderful, wonderful exercise to have to choose God. Forget your work, your labor of love. Which, how so? Which you have showed. How did you show it? How did you show this? Toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The word minister is the word deacon. We have deacon to wait, to serve, to help, to support. Is the word. In that you, verse 10, in that you have ministered, served, supported the saints and do minister. You're part of the body of Christ. You're very, very involved in the body of Christ. And that's what they're doing. So it shows you, what makes me, why am I obligated to so-and-so over here? Well, he's a believer in the body, local body especially. And in the local body, it's part of the body, and I have to honor him. Well, but I don't like him. There's no question about I like him. He's a believer. He may not be functioning. He may be nothing, but he's a believer. So I don't throw him out the window yet. I have to go and look to God and work it out. So I'm going to go and minister in the body. We aren't out in the street. We aren't out in the playing field somewhere. We're in the assembly, in the sanctuary. And in the sanctuary, we're supposed to honor Christ, have to. And the body, the believers, those that are believers, and there are those that aren't believers. But we, that God, we're looking to you to deal with us. So we're looking for you to minister, to, that we're looking to serve. We're very conscious of belonging to Christ. You're very conscious of belonging to Christ. Thank you. And I belong to the body, the church, not local church, the body. I belong to that. That's what I do. I'm very conscious of that. You're conscious of that. That's why we sit here. I belong to the body. That's where I am. Of the body, the body's made up of all kinds of hypocrites and everything. That's true. But there's no question of that. The body is still the body, the real body. And Christ is still God, absolutely. So that, I honor that. Sanctuary, sacred place, hang on to that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you can, just to pick it up, to serve supporting the body, and in verse 10, that we have ministered to the saints and do minister. We are ministering as it were. So, as we're serving, so there's evidence. And everyone do show the same diligence towards God's wonderful work. Verse 11, we desire that every one of you do show, there's your word, do show again the same diligence. To what? Be certain, what I just shared, easy. Honor Christ, honor the body. That's what you do. Show it. They did. That's the evidence. They weren't stupid coming in. I sit here and I do that and I do. They are disconnected. They're connected to the body. What we're here for, to represent our Lord Jesus Christ in a unique relationship to God. And then the Spirit of God says to the believers, as you read Hebrews, as so us, Do the same thing. Honor Christ, honor the body, honor your relationship to God, ministering to the saints, etc. We desire, verse 11, every one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you're going to go and have that same, to demonstrate that wonderful, wonderful, full assurance, the full certainty of hope unto the end. That's what you're going to do. You're looking for God to outwork His wonderful will. In this must always hope. There's always hope. Always hope here while we're here. Always expecting it going to the next thing, even so come. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, always. So when we come to verse chapter 11, and the full assurance of hope unto the end, the certainty, the hope, the glory of God in Christ, Christ in you, the hope of what? Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope, when's it going to end? Keeps us going with intelligence. What's making us go? The government? Whoops, forget that. The White House? Forget that. And what are you doing? No, we're going to have to, my friend, my brother, my family, my friends, how much are they into it? How much are they zealous? Where's their words? Where's their thoughts when you're with them? See, never hear it, never see it, nothing. No. So God, we're going to have to be motivated, looking to you for the full assurance. Christ in us. Christ, is God going to change? No. So therefore, in verse 12, full assurance, that ye be, verse 12, that you be not slothful, sluggish. Don't be slothful and sluggish. The word slothful has to do with as sluggish, etc., lazy. And slide over into chapter 5, and you'll remember the word in chapter 5 of Hebrews, if I can, picking up, please, in verse 11, 5:11, of whom you have, we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, hard to be uttered. It isn't easy to have to say these things, saying you are dull. There's the word dull. There's the word back over in verse 12, slothful, back over in verse 11, dull, slothful, lazy. You're lazy. You just don't do anything. So therefore, in verse 12, chapter 6, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So we're looking to God and to be followers, imitators of what? Of who? Of them who did what? Of them who through patience, faith and patience, inherit the kingdom of God. Now what do you know? Without doing too much on it, Hebrews 11:6, you don't have to turn there. But without faith, it's what? There's that wonderful word, impossible. It's impossible to turn around and go backwards. You can't. You're just going to lose. It's impossible. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So, what do I have to do? By faith, look to God. Thank God that He is. I'm going to trust God. Faith does what? Faith, why does God use the word faith? Because faith means we're bankrupt in here, in our heart and head, in everything, we're bankrupt. I have to look for someone else, something else, someone else outside myself to help me. I do not have it. I do not qualify it for it. I do not merit it. I look to Him. I have to look to Him by faith. Faith leaves us behind and reaches out to possess something that we do not have, to know somebody, to trust somebody. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's why faith is able for every human being. God didn't make it so some have to have some special treat or IQ or something so that they could believe. No. Everyone has faith. You use it every day. When you open the refrigerator door, if you have one, your ice chest, whatever you have, and you open the thing, what are you going to find? Aren't you looking for something in there? Why did you open it? You didn't open the drawer to find your milk, did you? Well, maybe you did. You open. Why? By faith. By faith you opened it, because that's where it's found. Everything's by faith. You turn the key in the ignition. By faith, and you're fully assured, assuming it's your car, and everything, you aren't even questioning the key. If in a new car, you might wonder if the key is going to work. But you don't have a new car, you've been using it for 50 years, so when you stick the key in, you don't even think. You expect it to start. But your same faith that stuck the key in on day one is the same faith that sticks the key in on the 50th time. Same key, same faith, always by faith. That's how you eat, by faith. You don't take, when you, here's your food, I know everything has so many calories and everything, and here's your plate of food, as it were, and here's the thing, and whatever you got on there, plate, and now how much potassium is in this, and selenium is in this, and manganese is in this, and do you do that? Do you even know it? When Dunkin' Donuts serves you dinner, when you go get it, when you go get that, do you know what the ingredients are? Do you know how much protein is in that jelly donut? You just eat it. By faith. By faith. That's how we do it. So without faith, that's what chapter 6, faith and then patience. Patience. You got to have patience to be persuaded, faith, and you have to have patience. Now, in order to get patience, to be long-minded, to be forbearing, over if I can, in a little bit left, over to James. not far away, next door actually, James, and chapter 5. And we're looking at the word patience, faith and patience. So we need to have faith, no question on that. Patience, bearing up under the load, being long-minded, enduring, endurance, as it were, steadfastness. So therefore, in order to get the promises, so yes, here we are looking, chapter 5, our little word patience, and you'll pick it up, please, in verse 10, 5, and then in verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction. They hung in there, the trial, the toil, the labor. They had to go through whatever it was. That's what they did. For example, suffering of affliction and of patience, enduring. They didn't walk away. They didn't quit. They didn't say, Elijah didn't say, it's enough of this trying to talk to the king. I'm going out fishing. He didn't say that. He just hung in there. Patience. You finish the job. Finish the journey. Now, having said that, closing verse 7. Here's your little word, the same word again. Patience, bearing up under. Steadfast. Be patient, verse 7. Be patient. Endure. Therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious truth of the earth, fruit of the earth. Ah, we're back to the fruit and evidence. Waiteth for the fruit of the earth, and hath long patience, there's your word, endurance, for it. He's waiting. You have to wait, you have to work through it. You don't just go through into the trial, the test, the trouble. You get sick, or you get some problem, whatever it is, and you get it, and it lasts for 2 seconds, and you learned. No, you have to endure the whole cycle. And if the cycle takes 3 days to get rid of the flu, then you take 3 days to get rid of the flu. That's what you do. You endure whatever it is. That's how you learn. So that's what we're talking about. We endure. We plant, and we plant the seed, and the sun, and the water, and wait, and the plant grows. Wherefore, the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, waiting for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Now, application. Be ye also patient, enduring, bearing up under the load. Establish, bearing up, long-minded, I should say. And be patient, long-minded. Establish your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord draweth near. That's why. That's what James, persecution, right up front there, the whole ball game. He said, boy, we got to be in there. Same like Jude. Wow. So what are we doing? We're waiting for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord. Did you wait yesterday? Yes. And you're waiting today? Uh-huh. We're waiting. Well, how long are you to wait? In faith and patience, enduring. What are we waiting for? The Lord. That's what we're waiting for. Looking, blessed hope, looking for his soon coming. Wonderful. I gotta quit. Hope you got a little bit. It's all there. It's impossible for believers to get lost. They have to be saved. And to say, well, I'm gonna be saved. You better be saved. Otherwise, you weren't gonna. You gotta really have a relationship to God. God help us. Thank you very much.